On Sunday, 19th May, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi's helicopter crashed in the mountains and forested area to the northwest of Iran. Along with him, Iran's foreign minister and governor of East Azerbaijan province were on board. Let me show you the exact location on a map. The helicopter crashed at a place called Dizmar Forest, which lies here, this green patch, in Iran's East Azerbaijan province, near its border with Azerbaijan. This entire region is a mountainous region containing few wildlife sanctuaries and a national park. So it is said that the Iranian president was returning from a trip from Iran's border with Azerbaijan, where he went to inaugurate a hydroelectric dam on the Aras River along with Azerbaijan's Prime Minister Ilham Aliyev. As you can see, this river forms a natural border between Azerbaijan and Iran, hence the presence of Azerbaijan's president was obvious. Now the big question is, was this helicopter crash natural or unnatural? Whether it is a natural death or an assassination? News reports say that the helicopter crashed and made an emergency landing in the Dizmar forest area. Heavy rains and fog were reported in the area with some wind, which might have led to the crash. What is most strange is that the Iranian president's helicopter was among the convoy of three. The other two helicopters have reached their destination safely. Then why this? Let me also tell you about this helicopter's model. It is a Bell UH-1N, which is a double-blade medium military helicopter, often known for its utility. It was introduced in 1971 by the United States. It was widely used in the Vietnam War, so you can imagine that these helicopters are very old. Although Iran flies a variety of helicopters in the country, but then international sanctions makes it very difficult for the Iranian government to obtain parts for them. On top of it, the Iranian military air fleet still has planes and fighter jets that are from before the 1979 Islamic Revolution era. So a lot of news reports are also suggesting the fact that these outdated machines could also be a reason behind the helicopter crash. But if you logically think about it, a country like Iran that has the capability of firing ballistic and cruise missiles directly at Israel and has no fear in flaunting high-level uranium enrichment to the world, do you think their military's technical unit cannot fly their president in a well-maintained plane or a helicopter? Of course they can, right? So this argument of outdated machines doesn't make sense. The other two helicopters, which were part of the convoy, made a safe landing. This is where the suspicion arises. Why did only the president's helicopter crash? Till now, whenever we have heard about any kind of high-profile VIP helicopter crash, the reason that is often given is low visibility due to bad weather, forest and mountain areas, or human error. That is the typical reason which is often served to the public. But if you think about it, the unexpected death of the Iranian president and foreign minister, and that too near the Iran-Azerbaijan border area, that raises suspicion as to whether or not Israel was behind this, because Israel and Iran have the most brutal animosity towards each other, to the extent that they want to destroy each other. If you remember, on April 1st, Israel did an airstrike on Iran's embassy in Damascus, Syria, killing Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, the highest-ranking Iranian military official, who was also the senior commander of IRGC. Along with him, his deputy commander was also killed in the airstrike. Now, whether you will call it an airstrike or assassination, I leave it up to your perception. If you remember, in 2020, the United States assassinated General Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad, Iraq. He was also the senior commander of the Quds force within IRGC. Now try to understand this. If Israel is eliminating key Iranian figures in this part of the world, don't you think the Israeli intelligence agency Mossad has all the ground intelligence with them? Now when you connect the dots, you will realize that the Israeli intelligence agency is meticulously targeting and eliminating key individuals, or you could say suspects, within the Iranian military and its proxy forces. Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran, Israel has also eliminated many key figures of Hezbollah in Syria and near Lebanon border. And then between 2010 and 2020, Israel has eliminated half a dozen of Iranian nuclear scientists. Now the straightforward question is whether or not Israel is behind this helicopter crash. Here is a news report that says Israel was not involved in Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi's helicopter crash. Now, if someone does something, they are not going to speak out in public and say, yes, I've done it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm blaming Israel. In fact, the Times of Israel has reported this incident as very concerning news. I want you to understand and connect the dots and see where it is leading us. Let's do some deductive reasoning and try to reason out or try to connect the dots with whatever we understand and whatever we can grasp. Apart from fog and weather conditions as a reason, there are a couple of theories I will point out. The first theory is that Mossad and the CIA are behind this. You must have heard in the past that Israel has carried out drone strikes on Iran's defense facility inside Iran. Israel also views Iran as a significant threat due to its accessibility to nuclear weapons and support for militant groups. And this is true if you see Iran is the only Muslim country in the Middle East to have developed their nuclear program, and it is also very advanced. Iran has the capability of enriching uranium to a great extent. United Nations report says Iran currently has enough enriched uranium to build several nuclear weapons. So you see, both Iran and Israel have enough motivation to attack each other. And then in last month, that is in May, Iran has showed all of us by launching hundreds of drones, ballistic missiles and cruise missiles towards Israel. Now, let me tell you how Israel targeted a defense facility inside Iran. If I show you the route, you will get a hint as to why this helicopter crash could have been conducted similarly. And always remember this point, whenever Israel conducts any kind of strike inside Iran, United States is duly informed. So, we have to factor in the United States' interests as well as Israel's interests. So, what is the United States' interest in Iran? Washington desperately wants to bring down Iran's nuclear program. The second interest of United States is Iran's military wing, that is IRGC, which is often called Iran's militant group by the West. They constantly attack United States troops and allies in Syria. The third interest of the United States is, as you may know, Iran was supplying drones to Russia, and Russia has been using those drones against Ukraine. I'm talking about Kamikaze Shahed drones. So that is also one of United States' interests, to take down the facility where these drones and advanced military technology are being manufactured inside Iran, so that tomorrow Iran is not able to supply any of the high-tech equipment to anyone in the world. The fourth interest of the United States as well as Israel is, currently who is a big threat to Israel? It is the Lebanese Shia militant group Hezbollah. And who supports Hezbollah financially and militarily? Iran. So any kind of arms shipment that has to reach Hezbollah or other proxy forces in Syria has to move through Iraq and then Syria. So it is very much in Israel's security interests to attack any kind of arms manufacturing facility inside Iran. I have stated all the reasons and interests that Israel and United States have regarding taking down the Iranian regime. Because you don't want to blow up the entire country and kill the citizens when it's easy to take down the regime. Now, if you look at the map of Iran, there are two ways Israel can enter Iran, through the north and the south. This way is a bit difficult because they have to cross Jordan or Syria and then Iraq and then enter Iran. Syria, it is not possible. As you know, the majority of the Syrian airspace is under the control of Russia, and Russia is not going to give a free hand to Israel just like that. Now, coming to Jordan, Jordan and Israel have a complex relationship. While there is no official diplomatic relationship between the two countries apart from a peace treaty signed in 1994, but then there is a huge political and cultural difference between the two. And then, as you know, Jordan is in support of Palestine, and it is not in favor of Israel's claims of Jerusalem. So with that much of difference, I don't think Israel will go to Jordan and then convince Saudi Arabia and then enter Iran. Now, Israel and Saudi Arabia do not have official diplomatic relations. However, there have been recent reports of covert cooperation between the two countries, mainly due to their mutual concerns over Iran's regional influence. But then the Saudi government officially supports the Palestinian cause. And the last thing Israel would do is ask United States to convince Saudi Arabia so that Israel can supply their drone from Saudi Arabia to Iran. This is also a huge risk, because then chances are Israel and the United States' covert operations against Iran will be publicly known, and that will not be in the United States and Saudi Arabia's interests. Now, the only way Israeli drones can enter Iran is from north. If you see, Azerbaijan is geographically closer to Iran. And I don't know whether you know this, all the missions in Iran's northeastern regions by Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, have been launched from Azerbaijani air bases. The second Armenia-Azerbaijan war, which took place in 2020, Azerbaijan used many of Israeli weapons. Israel and Azerbaijan have a long-term strategic cooperation, which is also a best-kept secret. It is not something new, it has been happening since the 1990s. Israel has trained Azerbaijan's military, Israel has also played a significant role in the building of Azerbaijan's military capabilities and the establishment of Azerbaijan's defense industry. One-third of Iran's population are ethnic Azerbaijanis. This is an asset for Israel. With the use of soft power, sleeper cells and secret Azerbaijani agents, Israel can easily create instability in Tehran. For example, there was an anti-hijab protest in Iran. And for a second, forget about the morality of the issue. Just try to understand. It did not happen just like that. Who is the champion of democracy? Which country uses democracy as a weapon to tear down regimes? You all know the answer. And then, as I mentioned, between 2010 and 2020, Israel eliminated half a dozen of Iranian nuclear scientists inside Iran. How did the Mossad agents conduct such an operation? Obviously by using ethnic Azerbaijani assets. Azerbaijan has several military air bases which are combined with civilian airports. Some of the most significant ones include the Ganja International Airport, which serves as the country's main military airbase and is located in the city of Ganja. The Nakhchivan International Airport, which is located in the Nakhchivan Autonomous Republic, and the Heydar Aliyev International Airport in the capital city of Baku. These air bases are used for both military and civilian purposes and play a key role in Azerbaijan's air defense and air transportation infrastructure. Now, I'm not saying that the Israeli intelligence agency have launched their drones from Azerbaijani airport. You have to understand that Iran has air defense systems installed in many of its border regions. So Iran can detect if something is trying to fly in. So the only way Israeli drones or any kind of weaponry or military technology can enter Iran is through these international airports, wherein some Azerbaijani asset has to physically carry it inside Iran in bits and pieces. And not just by air, you can enter Iran by bus, train, ferry or car. As I've already said, 1/3 of Iran's population are ethnic Azerbaijanis. This is an asset for Israel. And I've also said Israel has trained Azerbaijan's military. Israel has also played a significant role in the building of Azerbaijan's military capabilities and establishing Azerbaijan's defense industry. Till 2016, Israel was Azerbaijan's largest weapons supplier. Between 2017 and 2020, Israel supplied more than 60% of Azerbaijan's weapons import. In 2023, the two countries signed a deal for Israel to supply Azerbaijan with two satellites for $120 million. And you must also know that Israel is the largest importer of Azerbaijani crude oil. So there is a very high presence of Mossad agents in the northern part of Iran. When I'm talking about presence, I'm talking about proxies, sleeper cells who work for Israeli intelligence agency. As soon as you cross the Iran border from Azerbaijan, you will see a mountainous region, forest region. And this is the exact place where President Ebrahim Raisi's helicopter crashed. So there is a very high chance that Mossad must have carried out some operation here. You remember, as I said, with the use of soft power and proxy agents, Israel and United States can easily create instability in Tehran. I also gave you the example of anti-hijab protest in Iran in 2022. If you look at this anti-hijab protest, what is it? It is a reformist movement. Whether you accept it or not, it has been indirectly sponsored by the West. That is, the United States and Israel were very much using the unrest to create instability in Iran. Even Canada had joined the bandwagon in the name of human rights. So anyhow, what I'm trying to say is that the ethnic Azerbaijanis in Iran are an asset for Mossad and the CIA. Now let me tell you something about President Ebrahim Raisi. He ran for presidency in 2017 as well, but lost to President Hassan Rouhani. And in 2021, he won by 72%. One thing that you have to understand is that Raisi was the most powerful and hard-willed president Iran ever had since 1980s. In his 2 years and 290 days tenure, Iran showed a lot of muscle power to the Western countries under the leadership of Ebrahim Raisi. Whether it is about rejecting the JCPOA agreement with the US or curbing the anti-hijab protest in the hard way. Then Iran also intensified uranium enrichment under his presidency, then supported Russia by supplying drones and missiles, then attacked Israel by shooting cruise and ballistic missiles directly, then creating panic in the Red Sea with the help of Houthi rebels. So you could say these were the achievements of Ebrahim Raisi. That is why he is called as a hardliner in Iranian politics. He is also called the butcher of Tehran. By the time the Iran-Iraq war ended in 1988, he was appointed as the deputy prosecutor of the Revolutionary Court of Iran, where he ordered the execution of Iranian political prisoners, communists, and those who were against Islamic rule. He was the youngest of the four members of that panel. Around 4,000 to 5,000 people were executed. Even during the anti-hijab protest in 2021, it is said that some 500 protesters were killed and many others were made to disappear. He was also part of the Assembly of Experts, which is the Supreme Council in Iran. It is a body that appoints, removes and supervises the Supreme Leader. And if you look at the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, who is 86 and suffering from cancer. Within the Supreme Council, it is being said that after Ali Khamenei, Ebrahim Raisi was being groomed to succeed as a Supreme Leader. Although there is a competition between Ebrahim Raisi and Ali Khamenei's eldest son, Mustafa, but the IRGC supports Raisi more than Khamenei's son. That is why after Raisi's death, Khamenei's elder son Mustafa is in the news for wielding power. Now try to understand this. A strong president who could become the supreme leader in the future, along with his country's foreign minister, is dead. All the big names in Iran, be it generals and scientists, are dead one by one. The supreme leader has cancer. He will die anytime due to age and disease. The other one who was going to take over has also been cleared. Where do you think Iran's focus will now shift? What will happen to Iran? Iran will have no other option but to shift its focus internally. All this while, Iran's focus was outward, whether it is Syria, Iran, Lebanon, Red Sea, and Yemen. Now, Iran has to focus on its internal consolidation. All big and powerful names who had tremendous power in controlling the geopolitics of the Middle East have been eliminated. Now, it will take a lot of time for Iran to consolidate. The regime has been disintegrated. I want you to just think about what situation is Iran standing today. Its powerful leader, who was going to become the supreme leader in the near future, has died. And all the key military figures and nuclear scientists have been assassinated over the years. So this is where the prime focus is on Mossad and the CIA. They must have done this hit job. The second theory is that, if you remember, on 2nd April 2024, Iranian president visited Pakistan and met Pakistani army chief Asif Munir. Now, this is very rare that a president of a country is having a one-on-one meeting with another country's army chief. With Pakistan, it is not uncommon because everyone knows that Pakistan as a country is practically run not by the government, it is Pakistani army that runs the country. That is why the Iranian president had one-on-one meeting with the Pakistani army chief. Now, let me tell you why he met the Pakistani army chief. He basically visited Pakistan to make a deal in acquiring the technology to create trigger devices for nuclear weapons. This is the main reason why the Iranian president Ebrahim Raisi visited Pakistan. The design of the trigger device is extremely complex and requires precise engineering. The G7 countries are always concerned and they put extreme efforts on preventing countries from acquiring the ability to build these triggers. Now, personally, I'm not very sure whether Pakistan has the ownership of the nuclear trigger assembly. Because you see, as a country, Pakistan is doing very bad economically. And the United States has been helping Pakistan indirectly with financial assistance through the IMF. So don't you think in return the United States will have access to Pakistan's nuclear trigger assembly or anything of extreme importance? Plus, all the Pakistani generals and top bureaucrats after retirement, they settle down in Europe and America. So do you think Pakistan will have the audacity to refuse anything United States asks for? I have a strong feeling that the United States has access to Pakistan's nuclear trigger assembly. Because if Pakistan had the ownership, then don't you think Saudi Arabia would have taken it or at least asked for the technology for Pakistan in exchange of massive amount of money? So this is where I strongly feel that Pakistan's nuclear trigger assembly is in the custody of the United States. Pakistan cannot even think about sharing the technology or the blueprint with anyone. But one thing is sure, that when Iran must have asked Pakistan for the nuclear trigger assembly technology, Pakistan must have immediately passed this information to the CIA. And this becomes a strong and obvious reason for what has happened. And if you see, Iran desperately needs nuclear weapons, because there is no friend of Iran in this entire region. As former Indian President APJ Abdul Kalam once said, that only strength respects strength. Nuclear weapons are a strong negotiating instrument. For example, all G7 countries and NATO countries are covered under the United States nuclear umbrella. But there is no nuclear umbrella in the Middle East region. Why do you think last year in 2023, United States was desperately trying to normalize relations between several Arab nations, that is UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, Saudi and Sudan, with Israel? Because Israel is already a nuclear power and the United States wants to bring all the Arab countries under Israeli nuclear umbrella. On the other hand, Iran is enriching uranium at an advanced level, which is causing concern for the international community, including the United States and the IAEA. Why do you think Iran was doing that? Because it wants to become a nuclear state as soon as possible, so that it can start bringing Arab countries under its own nuclear umbrella and then start hard negotiation with the West. Now, before the helicopter crashed, President Raisi had gone for the inauguration of a dam near Azerbaijan and Iran border. So you can also say that Azerbaijan's president was the last person Ebrahim Raisi met before his death. Azerbaijan's president Ilham Aliyev is very close to Israel. There is a very close relationship between Israel and Azerbaijan. And then, as you know, Iran supported Armenia in the Azerbaijan conflict because it provides a corridor to Europe. I am talking about the INSTC corridor. I have an entire video on this topic. Now just think about it. In a region where there is so much close strategic cooperation, just imagine how much Israeli intelligence agencies' presence will be there. Always remember this point: in a region where there is a lot of close strategic cooperation is happening between multiple countries, Foreign intelligence agencies are bound to be present for gathering and sharing intelligence on security threats, regional instability, fault lines, and other areas of common concern. With this, I end my talk here. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.